Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah, it's Friday night.
Weekend, we want to raise up a Bud Light or a Miller Light. I drank a Miller Light and I got a Bud Light in my hand, but we want to give a big old hell yeah to every barbecue team out there. Now, look, folks, you know, without a doubt, the barbecue team drive barbecue in the United States. And I know there's some great barbecue restaurants out there, and don't get me wrong now, barbecue restaurants are 24/7, 7 days a week. Barbecue restaurants are nonstop. Load it up, cook it out, sell it out, clean it out, load it out, cook it out, sell it out, clean it out. Folks, I'm telling you, that's a... Now, them three things I said right there, I believe old Tom Houston and the Shed and Famous Dave's and all these big time barbecue restaurants to tell you that's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week process. And, you know, we got to make a big shout out to the barbecue restaurant in Dallas, Barbecue Backyard. Now, that man said he was not going to build a chain. Let me take a drink right quick. That man said he was not going to build a chain of barbecue restaurants because he wanted to make sure the barbecue that was being put out was to his standard. And that man has spent 30-plus years in that Dallas restaurant. Now, think about this, folks, down in Dallas. Dickie's and Sonny's were up the street. He started off with the fellows that started Sonny's and Dickie's. It was Sonny's, Dickie's, and Barbecue Backyard. And I think they were all pretty much the same quality cooks. And Sonny's went out and made a big national chain now. Now, the fellow who started Sonny's, God bless his heart, has passed on. But his children now have really taken the reins to Sonny's and are really putting a big chain out there. And then Dickie's also. Now, Dickie's has come into Spartanburg, South Carolina. And down in Greer, they have one. Down in Inman at the golf course, they have one. And, you know, every time I go by Dickie's, I always think about that fellow down there at Barbecue Backyard. We love you down there in Dallas, and we realize what you represent. Now, him and a African-American fellow that worked with him for the last 30-some-odd years have run that restaurant. And what was so neat when I did the interview, which I got it on my website, is he had all his friends there, his friends from high school, his friends from grammar school, his friends from college, everybody that he knew when he was growing up. They were a table full of them in the restaurant. It was so funny that they all sat around and told stories about stuff that happened in the restaurant. And it was a good family time. And, you know, that man will never be on the front page of the barbecue news or on the front page of the National Barbecue Association. But doesn't he represent what we all love in barbecue? And wherever you're out there in Dallas tonight, we just want to say a big old hell yeah for barbecue superstars, and want to let you know how much we love you and for what you've done for barbecue by standing strong down there in Dallas in that barbecue restaurant. And, well, we had a big week of broadcasting on barbecue superstars. My goodness. Now, folks, it's a drill. You know, get up around 6:30. Start pulling all the stuff out to cook, take it out there on the set. And then I've got this real fancy Fast Eddie Cook Shack PG500 now. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you. I've cooked on a Lane. I've cooked on a Meadow Creek. I've cooked on this barrel cooker out here. I've cooked on a Weber grill. Now, I've never cooked on a gravity flow. I don't have a gravity flow. Now, I've seen massive amount of people cook on gravity flows. Now, every morning ceremoniously, I go out and I push that on switch on this Cook Shack Fast Eddie PG500. And the first thing I always say, now I know if you've watched the show, after I play Good Morning from Mandisa, that I got to light the charcoal. No, wait a minute. I got to get some wood out and put on top of the charcoal. No, wait. In order to crank this grill up, I've got to push the on switch. Whoa, hell yeah. Now, and then every morning, I always leave the camera on, and you'll hear a little ching-ching, ching-ching, ding-ding. It sounds like money falling down, but it's not money. It's wood pellets, and the wood pellets will fall down into like a cup. And I don't know how the electric eye ignites these pellets exactly, but next thing you know, you'll see smoke coming out of the cup. And when it ignites, whoosh, there's a flame. Now, the fancy thing about this PG500, now, you know, you're talking to somebody that's only cooked on charcoal and wood. I've never I've never seen any technology like the big technology this PG-500 has. But when you open the doors and the temperature drops, because you open the door, you let it out, the flame in that cup starts shooting out about 10 inches. And instantly, you got a charred grill on the left-hand side of that thing. And now, I stuck 2 pork chops up on there. I don't know if it was this week or last week. And you would not believe the difference in cooking temperature between the left side of that grill where the char griller is and the right side of the grill where the regular cooking is. Now, that goes for the bottom and the top, too, because now I put a hamburger. Let's see, what was it? Good God, I've cooked so much stuff, I don't know what it was. But I put something on that side of the top rack and something to the right. So the top rack was full, and I had 2 pans there. And the char grilling side transferred over to being a lot hotter and cooking faster. And, man, I got to tell you, now it's a hell yeah. That's a heck of a cooker. And I made 6 hamburgers. I know everybody's seen it. Now, I actually made 8, but 2 of them was those little quarter-pound, little skinny hamburgers like you might get at McDonald's. And I put them on the Weber Smoky Joe. And I did a comparison. You know, I cooked 2 on the Smoky Joe, 2 on the barrel cooker, and then 2 on the PG-500. And then after I got done cooking all 6, I laid them on hamburgers and compared them. Now, I kind of messed the comparison up for y'all a little bit because I put cheese on it. But now you got enough of a look at the hamburger while it was on the grill to see the difference. And I'm going to tell you now, there was a $29 grill, Smoky Joe. It cooked the hamburger. Now, I ain't going to say it didn't cook it. It cooked it all the way through. Now, folks, if you're used to cooking on a stove, you got to understand, these grills cook what you cook on a stove a whole lot faster. Now, I don't know if it was because I was so damn busy, you know, shifting the camera around and getting ready for the next, you know, thing I was going to do on the set, or I don't know, all this planning stuff you got to do in order to pull a show like this off, that time went by faster. But it seemed like I put those hamburgers in the PG-500, the Weber Smoky Joe, and the pit barrel grill for about 3 minutes. I turned them over once. Now, it all, you know, expert always say, don't press it down on it with the spatula and only turn it over once. Yeah, and that keeps all the juice in it. All right, well, I only done it once because it seemed like, of course, I was working 3 grills at once. But that thing was done. And I'm talking about done through the center. I'm talking about cleanly done that quick. And, wow, I mean, you know, I didn't expect all that. I figured it would take some time. So something about the convection of heat, the radiation of heat, the way the grills are set up to reflect heat, even though that pit barrel grill, I mean, it's just a 25 or a 30-gallon barrel. I mean, it's not, and that's the good thing about it is it's kind of small. They cook stuff fast. I mean, and you know what? That just makes, if you're having a party, shoot, you can turn over some major meat quick. And that PG-500, you know, big enough to cook, you know, 20 butts on, but hell, you can turn them over so fast. What the hell? You know, you can do a heck of a tag on. Now, it's Friday night. I know there's a lot of people out at the competition. We love every one of you. And hold up your Bud Light or your Miller Light. Come on, man. You're going to hold your Bud Light, Miller Light up. let's do a little click together and say, I'm going to do a big 1, 2, 3. Come on, Adam, say it with me. 1, 2, 3. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Man, I tell you, if you like the shows or you'd like to talk about what I did on the shows a little bit tonight, give me a call, 347-202-0263. We're right here. We'll talk about it. Let's see what you think about all those shooting the barbecue superstars has done over the week.
Been abused. Somebody blew up a building. Somebody stole a car. Somebody got away. Somebody didn't get too far. Yeah, they didn't get too far.
Grandpappy told my pappy back in my day, son, a man has an answer for the wicked that he done. Take all the rope in Texas, find a tall old tree, round up all of them bad boys, hang them high in the street for all the people to see.
That justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. We got too many gangsters doing dirty deeds,
too much corruption and crime in the streets.
It's time the long arm of the law put a few more in the ground.
I'm all to the maker and he'll settle them down.
You can bet he'll set them down. Cause justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
And we'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, saying, whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. Whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. You know, justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
And we'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. Singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
Whiskey for my men and beer for my horses. Now, wait. I need to catch up. All right, folks. If you're out there enjoying Barbecue Superstars, we're going to give you a big old hell yeah. I tell you, it's been a long week of barbecue for me. And now, let me give you the roll. This is the way it works. I get up. About 6, 7 o'clock, usually 6 o'clock in the morning, because I'm worried about making sure I get everything rolled out there, ready to go. And I'll take a shower, brush my teeth, shave, comb my hair, and then it's a thought of whether I need to run down to the grocery store and get a cake or get some chipotle or green chilies or what I got to get for that morning in order to get to make sure I got, you know, a lot of different things to cook for you in the morning. And then I'll get back. I always make sure I'm back by 7:30, quarter till 8. And I'll make a shout out to Ingles at Springfield. I appreciate you guys having all the stuff you got. I mean, my goodness, who would think that in Spartanburg, South Carolina, across from North Spartanburg and First Baptist, that they would have Chipotles in a can and green chilies the way they did. That Ingles up there has got everything. Now, they're high. Now, I hate to say it. They're too dang high. I couldn't shop there for everything. But at Save-A-Lot, they don't have nothing like that. I couldn't get no green chilies and Chipotle peppers up there. So, you know, for all your specialty items, go to that Ingles up there. You're still buying their meat because it's way too damn high. But anyway, so I get back by 8 o'clock, and then it's time to load the set down. Now, folks, we're talking about 25 or 30 trips out of the house onto the set to get the knives, a magic cutting board. Now, I've used that cutting board in a lot of videos now. And you know, now, it ain't cooking until I get the cutting board out there. That wood cutting board, somebody gave that to me at a barbecue contest somewhere, the people who make them. And it's not fair for me to not know their name. And you need to go get a cutting board there because, you know, that cutting board has been through a lot of war with me, and it's wonderful. Now, it's not just a cutting board, folks. I use that for a reference where to position the camera. And I know that if I stay on that cutting board with the meat that I'm processing for whatever barbecue, it's going to be a good shot for y'all. And if you go to YouTube, I put the last four shows up on YouTube just so people can get a flavor of what's going on in the room. And when I've done the hamburgers, the Canon M40 I've got really took a wonderful shot of me mixing that hamburger up. And now I tell you, it's been a journey. Now, Adam, you went and got a piece of chocolate cake, and it was all gone before you got back in here. I was expecting you to come back with a whole piece of cake. And now, folks, the chocolate cake I made this morning is on the front of Barbecue Superstar. My son Adam's eating a big piece of it, and it was a Swiss chocolate cake with dark chocolate. And man, was it good! Man, what a great morning! And I'm gonna tell you something, man. I have really enjoyed doing these shows, and I want to thank Cook Shack. Now, Cook Shack sent me that cooker, and this month they sponsored my live stream. And we would not be watching Barbecue Superstars live television right now if it wasn't for Cook Shack. And to all the people at Cook Shack and Mrs. Bookout and Terry Gordon, I want to tell you all I love you. Thank you. And that now Barbecue Superstars morning show is not going the way it's supposed to. It is not going the way it's supposed to. Now, I want to make sure that everybody out there in the barbecue world, especially the barbecue teams, know that Barbecue Superstars morning show is not going the way it's supposed to. If it was going the way it was supposed to, I'd have a different barbecue team cook here every morning to take the reins of the show and cook whatever they want for 2 or 3 hours. Now, let me make sure everybody out there realizes I'm cooking on the Barbecue Superstars morning show until I can get cooks to realize this is your show. This is not my show. Yeah, okay, I went out there and I've done this and I've done that to keep the show going. I got to get it started, you know. And one thing that happened around the middle of June is I was sitting there and I was working on Barbecue Superstars tailgating, which has been a massive, huge project. And folks, I'm going to tell you, I'll never be done with Barbecue Superstars tailgating. There's way too many pages, way too much involved. But I love working on it, and I think it enhances the website. And I think it's a nice part of our culture. You know, tailgating is families getting together and cooking whatever food and watching the game. But, you know, a lot of emotional things happen in a good tailgate. I think there's a lot of family interaction that needs to happen to work out problems, to bring families closer, to bring people closer. That's the one reason why I have tried to go into tailgating. Plus, you know, I love it. You know, all the memorabilia. You got the rug over here. You got the clock over there. I do happen to have a South Carolina Gamecock clock. I've got a whole room. I got a room that's a Gamecock color. And I've got my son Adam's trophies up on a shelf. And my oldest son was going to throw them away. I said, no way, I want them. And did you know you had a little trophy room in here, Adam? Look at all them trophies. And I seen him win some of them, and he got a bunch of medals, too. Was that your wrestling medals there?
I don't know, maybe. Yeah, maybe a couple of them.
That stuff's fun. I mean, we got the Gamecock rug. We got the Carolina. It's got a whole bunch of pictures of the buildings in Columbia. And then I got a thing over here on the wall that says pharmacist. And, you know, if you can afford to buy a little piece at a time, you know, your son's bedroom, you and your wife's bedroom, have a wall. Get you some shelves put up. And put some of your favorite team stuff up there, you know. And then plan out your tailgate, you know, when the basketball, football, baseball season starts, whatever you like the best. Then, you know, get a few of those items out, put them out in the living room, call some of your friends. Now, we had a heck of a cookout today on the television show. My son bought 2 Boston butts, and I bought a top round loin. Really, it's a loin. And I injected it on the show, and I put it in a big-time beef as you with bacon on it. And I cooked it all day in the PG-500, which I know it uses a substantial amount of pellets in. And then I cooked the 2 Boston butts in the barrel grill because that thing there does a great job of cooking butts. And so I made rice with, I put 2 cups of rice in a half pan. You know, you got your full tray pan, and half of that, we got a pan, and I put 2 cups of rice, a whole bunch of chicken bouillon, and a whole bunch of butter, and probably 3 cups of water, 4 cups of water. And after I got the Boston butts off at 3:30, I put the rice on the barrel grill, and I let it on there for an hour and a half. When I got it off, it was all done. Boy, the rice was good. And so my sons came over and brought a few friends. And now, my youngest son, I put about 2 pounds of pork on it for the pulled pork. I chopped it right in front of him, and then I got the beef loin out, and I cut about 1.5 pounds of it off. And so it was probably 3.5 pounds of meat on his plate, and I put baked beans, cornbread, and rice on it. And he sat there and started working. There's no way I can eat all this. There's no way I can eat all this. He got about half to 2/3 of it ate. He said, I got to get up. He said, I'm sitting here mentally sizing up. I'm going to eat the rest of it. So I put it down, and my wife's going to kill me, but my dog Molly ate the rest of it. And what was so funny, I gave my son 2 pieces of cornbread. I looked around, and Molly had a piece of cornbread in her mouth. But it was so funny. She had to go to the other side of my backyard to eat it. She carried it around for a good 10 minutes, you know. man, I tell you, that's what barbecue is all about. Now, I cooked that chocolate cake this morning, and I put it in there probably, I don't know, 9:15, 9:20. And I swear by 9:45 it was done. And I've never seen anything get different dishes done as quickly as that PG-500. Now, I did put the bean casserole on there. I hope y'all seen that. And it did take a while for it to cook. But I think some of that was my fault because I didn't quite drain out, you know, the beans and the stuff. There's too much liquid in it. And, you know, the whole key to getting a dish done is controlling how much milk or water or whatever liquid you're putting in it. You know, putting too much in there will make it cook for a long time. Let's hear a little Red Solo Cup.
Now, Red Solo Cup is the best receptacle for barbecues, tailgates, fairs, and festivals. And you, sir, do not have a pair of testicles if you prefer drinking from glass. Hey, Red Solo Cup is cheap and disposable. In 14 years, they are decomposable. And unlike my home, they are not foreclosable. Freddie Mac kissed my ass. Woo!
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party.
I love you,
Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party. Proceed to party.
Now, I really love how you're easy to stack, but I really hate how you're easy to crack. Cause when beer runs down in front of my back, well, that, my friends, is quite yucky. But I have to admit that the ladies get smitten, admiring how sharply my first name is written on you with a Sharpie when I get to hitting on them to help me get lucky.
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party.
I love you,
Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party. Proceed to party.
Now I've seen you in blue and I've seen you in yellow, but only you, Red, will do for this fella. Cause you are the Abbott into my Costello, and you are the fruit to my loom. Red Solo Cup, you're more than just plastic. You're more than amazing. You're more than fantastic. And believe me that I'm not the least bit sarcastic when I look at you and say, Red Solo Cup, you're not just a cup.
No.
You're my friend.
Friend.
Yeah.
Lifelong.
Thank you for being my friend.
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. I love you, Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party. Proceed to party.
Woo!
Red Solo Cup.
Red Solo.
You a 16-ounce beer, I don't care what brand or what it is, and you try to drink the whole beer before the song's over. Now, I've just done that, and you heard me pour another one. And Hey, man, by the time we get done with this show, we want you to be rolling pretty good and having a good time, whatever barbecue contest you're at. Now, folks, when you loaded up the truck, loaded up the trailer, when you went by Costco and got your meat, oh, that's right, I said Costco, or you went by where, three or four different places, got your chicken from Publix, got your brisket from Kobe, got your Boston bus from IVP, got your ribs from IVP Double Thick. Good God, who knows? When you load it up, you flex the muscle of the barbecue world. And when you crank that truck up and it started pulling out, you just supported every barbecue person in this country. And I'm going to tell you now, it's a lot of work to get loaded up and head out to that contest every week. And it costs a lot of money. Now, there's a good friend of mine I love to death, down in Georgia, said he spent $30,000 doing barbecue contests. And you know what? That's 1 year. You know, that's a lot of love of barbecue. Now, on the other side of that, that boy has learned to flat lay it down. And, you know, just like this stuff I'm doing out here on a television show, he learned that much in 2 weeks. And he's been out there for a couple of years now. Now, I don't know if he realized it or not, but he set up to start a barbecue restaurant. And, folks, I'm going to tell you, good barbecue in a barbecue restaurant will outsell and outlast all these other guys out there who've got second-rate barbecue and are calling themselves a barbecue restaurant. You know, just because you hang barbecue over top of your restaurant don't mean that you've got good competition-grade, kick-ass, lay-it-down, lay-it-out barbecue. That just means you're making a stab at it. We had a barbecue restaurant up here in Inman. I'll never forget it. I was working at CVS in Inman. And they went up there and they got all plates. I'll never forget. And they brought it back and it was dry. And the only way I could eat it was I put a lot of barbecue sauce on it. And, you know, it was hard. It was dry. And now looking back, what they did was they chopped it way too early. You know, Bucky's Barbecue, when you walk in that front door and you go to the right wall and you walk up to the counter, there's a young man there with a big cleaver. And he chops the barbecue as you stand there and watch. And that makes them good, juicy. When you get that butt or that brisket and you cut it and you lay the pieces out, drying begins. And it's a time limit. In 30 minutes, that barbecue's not going to be very good. So, in other words, you need to take that plate directly over and eat it. That's what I've done for my son tonight was I chopped the barbecue right in front of him and I raked it over on his plate. And Adam, that was a lot of barbecue in that corner. And he looked and said, there ain't no way I can eat all that. man, that was a big moment, you know. Hell yeah. So anyway, if you take your stab at it, I think one of the big things in barbecue restaurants, to be honest with you, is portion size. You get a Boston bud and you can't effectively feed 20 people, you're going to make money. And I tell you, you got potato salad, baked beans, and coleslaw. Potato salad's a filling thing, but, you know, you give them that too. I'm sure a fair-sized portion of barbecue will be enough. And then if they want more, they can pay for more, you know. It ain't a buffet. Now, I went up to Save-A-Lot, and I got two Boston butts, and they were probably 5 or 6 pounds apiece, and they were $15. One was $15, one was $15.50, you know, over 50 cents and $15. So that was $30 right there for Boston butts. It's not cheap. Then you think about the rubs you put on it. You got sauce on the table. Then you got napkins, salt, pepper, and any kind of condiments they want to use. Your profit's going down every minute. So you can't afford to give them the house, you know. But any normal person with a big plate full, they're only going to be able to eat one plate. So just make sure you price it high enough. Now, there's some big names out there. I think they ought to add $5 a plate just for their name because, you know, when you got people like Melissa Cookson, Chris Lilly, Byron Mixon, Mike Mills, those kind of names, you know, you walk into their restaurant, you're already elevated. I mean, you know them boys right there and them girls, they're going to lay some barbecue out there. It's probably going to blow your mind, make your eyes go back in your head. And plus, they've earned it. You know, when you've walked that walk in Memphis in May 2 or 3 times, you know, you deserve an extra $5 plate. And you know, if you've went out and you've made a big name in barbecue and competition, then you can put your trophies in there and add money to the plate because people need to pay for that, you know, and they will. Because I guarantee what you're going to put out is probably going to blow their mind. Now, it's Friday night. I know the competition world out there is loaded down, teams wall to wall. There's teams all over the country from the FBA to the PNWBA to the NEBS all the way down to the South Carolina Barbecue Association, Southern Barbecue Network. Spruce Pines is wide open this weekend. I know there's a bunch up there at Spruce Pines doing a Southern Barbecue Network contest, and the GBA probably got one this weekend. If you're out there on the competition circuit now, right now is about the time to do it. I want you to look out across for all the RVs and barbecue trailers and everybody, right now, if you look out, there's them little lights that are on, and you got a little lamp or a couple lamps at every cook site, but then you got that beautiful sunset, that beautiful light that comes across the top of those trailers. Tonight is a magic night in barbecue history. So, you know, if you're out there competing, I want every one of you to take advantage of this night, wherever you may be in the country. And I'll tell you what, take in the moment. Get back in your chair for just a minute or walk out and look and just enjoy the moment because all those brothers and sisters out there are beside you cooking America's cuisine. They are cooking what we as Americans came up with, and we love our British partners, we love our German partners, and everybody who takes part in barbecue, because you're our barbecue brothers too. But you know what, that blue smoke and that smell, and I'm going to tell every one of you something. In the morning when I go up and I crank up those grills to do the television show and that smoke comes across there and I can smell it, I'm in Franklin, North Carolina, I'm in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm in so many different places that I travel to, and I can think about that smoke. That, and you know, it's funny, as good as that PG-500 is, that pit barrel grill out there puts out the closest thing to that magic barbecue smell as I've smelled. And I got to say, there's one cooker that puts out that smell, and that's the Lang. You know, I don't know what it is about a Lang, but you put some oak wood in a Lang, and you're going to get that magic barbecue smell that just makes the world seem like a different place. And shoot, them old Langs, they're pretty good, you know. Well, this is my favorite Friday night song, and I'm tired after a long week, and I got to hear this song tonight, and I hope y'all bear with me so we can listen to this and enjoy it. If you got your beer with you, come on now, drink a beer with me while we listen to this song, and let's all sing it together. I love every one of you.
Well, it was all that I could do to keep from crying. Sometimes it seems so useless to remain, but you don't have to call me darling, darling. You never have to call me Waylon Jennings, and you don't have to call me Charlie Price, and you don't have to call me Merle Haggard anymore. In your phone book, and I've seen it on signs where I play, but the only time I know I'll hear David Allen call is when Jesus has his final judgment day. A friend of mine named Steve Goodman wrote that song, and he told me it was the perfect country and western song. I wrote him back a letter, and I told him it was not the perfect country and western song because he hadn't said anything at all about mama, or trains, or trucks, or prison, or getting drunk. Well, he sat down and wrote another verse to the song, and he sent it to me, and after reading it, I realized that my friend had written the perfect country and western song, and I felt obliged to include it on this album. The last verse goes like this here. Well, I was drunk the day my mom got out of prison, and I went to pick her up in the rain. Before I could get to the station in the pickup truck, she got run over by a damned old train. Call me dog.
you guys are excited. Go out here. We'd like to take your picture, if you would, around to the backdrop in the back. We're on now to the heart of the categories. It's time for the Sauce Winners. We have ribbons, first through 10th place. Places 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. We'd like for you to get your ribbon and go out back and have your picture taken by our designated photographer out there, okay? That'll help speed things along a little bit and get us rolling right along. So,
as everybody else, that this whole damn thing has been cleared up. But my wife has been done a disservice.
Bobby, it's all right now.
No, it isn't, honey. There's no excuse for it.
Of course there is, Bobby. We all thought she was guilty.
Maybe if I'd been you, I'd have felt the same way, too.
That's very generous of you, Pamela.
You were the hardest on her, J.R.
I am sorry.
Accepted.
J.R., now I want you and Pam to quit fighting forever. Come on, I want both of you to give each other a little kiss and make up. Just a friendly little kiss.
Very seldom did I ever hit you. It was always grab, threaten, and then nothing would
when happen. I burst into tears,
yeah.
Yes. Oh, please don't hit me. Please don't hit me, Mommy.
We'll always be brothers, JR. But if you ever try and force me to choose, there's not a chance in a million I'd choose you or any family above my wife. I don't think you're...
It was a dumb, stupid trick,
Bobby,
JR! If you ever do it again,
I...
The name of the game is huge.
You're destroying everything
year.
That Daddy spent his
you're
life building.
You're trying to tell me how to run my half.
You're damn right I am.
You
You've
know
got
where you can put
right
that.
I'll show you
where
I can. Back it up! You run a fight, you can go out behind the stables.
This is your style, JR. My wife and the man that put Cliff Barnes in office.
Your wife got in plenty of trouble before you all got married. I don't understand why you think she changed.
Hey, wait a minute!
What the hell's going on?
Are you
going
to punch me out?
No, I'm not.
Good. Because you're younger and stronger than I am, and I don't look forward to having dinner with our mother with a split lip.
He must have been hurting so much to do this to himself. He has to, man. He just has to.
You're not Christopher's father. You don't have any claim on him at all.
Yeah, Bobby, just calm down.
You tried to blackmail me with a child you thought was your own. You're a scum.
I vote my 20 shares. John Ross is 10 and Ray's 10.
that I remain president of Ewing Hall.
Lucy, out. Well, we have a tie. If you vote to dismiss J.R., you will have to step in and run Ewing Oil.
Just like the ones I used to know.
Man, let me say all that again. I tell you, I had the phone on mute. It doesn't matter what country you're in. You can always cook barbecue. Go look around and get yourself four cinder blocks and get yourself some kind of a metal grate. Put across those blocks. Get yourself wood. Start your fire. Get your coals. Coals. Coals is what cooks barbecue, not open flame. You can get a fire started over on the side, burn it down in the coals, and get yourself a shovel and put the coals underneath the grate that you got across those cinder blocks. About a foot off the ground where you're going to put the coals. Put that grate across there and put your coals up under it. And then if you can get yourself a rabbit, a squirrel, or any kind of a small animal, or if you got a cow and they butcher it, you can cook barbecue. It doesn't matter what cut of meat it is. Get yourself some meat. And then look around the local marketplace for different spices. And salt and sugar, white sugar, brown sugar. It doesn't matter. Salt and paprika. Look for paprika. Cinnamon. Cinnamon is a good spice to put on barbecue. Garlic, peppers, jalapenos, habaneros. You're out there in the jungle areas, you'll probably have some kind of gorilla pepper that'll blow your mind. Well, just put a little bit on there. Don't get too crazy with it. And then cook it up. Share it with your friends and try to make a community event out of it. That's what barbecue's all about. You can do it anywhere. And we want to encourage people in poor countries to do it too. Y'all have a good night. That's what Bing Crosby is all about. We're going to end it off with a little White Christmas.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. Where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas card I write. May your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
Cook some barbecue. This has been a Barbecue Superstars Network production.